Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. I am really excited to share with you today's episode because we dive into some spiritual topics that we have never in the almost 4 years that I've been doing this podcast have gotten a chance to dive into yet. And these are the more esoteric aspects, quantum physics, quantum entanglement, how we are literally made of the stars. Are we living in a simulation? So I love nerding out on these topics, but sometimes it can feel really overwhelming for people. And I always like to make this podcast as accessible to people as possible, which is why I haven't totally gone into this stuff yet. But I feel like you guys are ready. I mean, so many of you have been listening to every episode. So you've like built up the spiritual repertoire and you're here for it. Maybe it's your first time listening and your soul has done its own preparation from past lives and prior experiences and books, et cetera, that have made you interested in this topic, this podcast title called Your Name. And I welcome you here. And my name is Sahara Rose. I'm an author and host of this podcast and an ancient soul in a modern body. So one of the things I love learning about is just how this world that we are living in is not as 3D as we make it to seem. So when I say 3D, three-dimensional, that's like very cause and effect. Like the sky is blue because it's blue. Like people are sad, people are happy, people are this. It's a quite dualistic way of seeing the world. And there is, you know, importance in being able to tap into the 3D. Like when you're at the airport, you got to be in the 3D. You got to make sure you're on time for your flight and you get in. When you're filing your taxes or doing things like this, like you got to be in the 3D. And when do we make space to be in the 5D or the other dimensions? Now, these are conversations like this. Being tuned into the heart, into the frequency of joy, connection, communion, spirituality. And there are many other dimensions past that, which we go into a bit in this conversation and some other episodes to come. So in this episode, I asked Brandon some really juicy questions, like, how are we literally made of stars? I mean, you may have heard the term, we're all stardust, but why do people say that? Are we actually made of stars? And you will be surprised to know that, yes, we actually are, and he explains why. What is quantum physics? Again, this was a term for such a long time, I was like overwhelmed. Every time I would like watch a quantum physics documentary, I was like, I don't get it. But he explains it in a more understandable way. What is quantum entanglement? How we're in the chrysalis right now? How we are living in the simulation? We really go into this because there's a lot of different perspectives on the simulation theory, which we speak about, and his understanding of it. And we also go into his 8 Keys of Abundance, which his new book is all about, and he shares more about that at the end of this episode. So you may know him from Positive Head Podcast. He's an incredible podcast host, spiritual teacher, and friend of mine. Without further ado, let's welcome Brandon Beacham to the Highest Self Podcast. And before we get started, I'd love to share with you this special offer. Do you feel deep in your soul that you have a purpose but are overwhelmed and confused about where to start? Are you a multi-passionate person who needs a clear focus and direction so you can truly make progress and impact this year? Do you know deep down that your highest form of joy is your highest form of service, but need clarity on how to make that your reality? Well, you're not alone. Our school system and society has not trained us to follow our intuition and honor our dharmas. In fact, it can feel like totally foreign territory. But the thing is, discovering your dharma is the most important work you can do. And without discovering our dharma, we will never experience true happiness, because happiness is the byproduct of living your purpose. I was where you might be right now, confused and overwhelmed about my own dharma, questioning if I even had one, if my dreams were just wishful thinking, or if my obstacles had happened to be for a reason because it was my opportunity to share them. And through my journey of deconditioning and unraveling and getting true with myself for many, many years, I finally got the courage to write my first book, second book, third book, my newest book, Discover Your Dharma, and help thousands of others discover their dharmas too. So I'm so excited to bring you the first ever course, the 21-day Dharma Discovery Journey. In this course, in just 21 days, in less than 10 minutes a day, I will be your Dharma coach, guiding you step by step on how to discover your Dharma. So if you're interested in learning more, head over to iamsaharrose.com/dharmadiscovery. Again, that's iamsaharrose.com/dharmadiscovery. The link is in the show notes, and I'm so excited to see you living your Dharma. Welcome, Brandon, to the Highest Self Podcast. It's so great to have you here.
So excited to be here. Thank you, Sahara, for having me.
And the first question I'd love to ask you is, what makes you your highest self?
What a great question. What makes me my highest self? When I am acting from a place of love. That's the simple answer. Whenever I'm choosing, you know, my favorite quote is, I wrote it as it's a John Lennon quote that I remixed. I put John Lennon remixed by Brandon Beacham, but love is the answer now. What was the question?
I love that.
Now what was the question? And now is the time to do it. So I put the now in little parentheses.
Love that. So simple. Yeah, we make it so complicated.
Mm-hmm. And it is, it's cliche, but true.
Yes. And it all, you know, it really comes down to how we can optimize our fullest expressions on this planet at this time. And I love your 8 keys to abundance that really go into that. And I love how you just take, you start us off with such a quantum approach, and you bring up, like, from the chapter one is like, hey, what's quantum physics, quantum entanglement? We are literally made out of stars. And I think that it's so important for us to sometimes zoom out and see this big picture perspective of that we are just mere particles of the greater one that, you know, right now, I think a lot of us have really disconnected ourselves from that. I mean, saying oneness is almost like you just can't say that anymore. It's like people don't want to think about our universality, even though I think the only way we can transcend this human experience is to observe the separation and see beyond it. And we need different people with different opinions and different voices to remind us, yes, we have all of this beautiful diversity here on this planet, these archetypes and these perspectives, and we're literally all made out of the same stardust. So I love how you started with that.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important. That's, you know, in my book, The Golden Key, the first key is see the oneness. And that is so, once again, kind of cliche. Yeah, all is one. But really, all is one. I truly believe the separation between us is an elaborate hologram. The consciousness that animates my form is the consciousness that animates your form. And when you start playing with that concept, one, you know, as you mentioned, quantum physics is showing us, science and spirituality are really doing a dance that they've never done before. And it's incredible to witness. And when you start, like I like to say about all the concepts and perspectives that I share on the Positive Head podcast and in the book and just, you know, to anyone who will listen, it's great to have ideas about how everything works. What I find fascinating is when you apply these perspectives, you know, okay, what if I start acting as if everywhere I go, I'm there waiting for myself. Literally, it's me reflecting me back to me. Everything is vibrational in nature, as quantum physics shows us. And whatever I'm bumping up against is a close enough reflection, that which is like unto itself is drawn. It's a close enough vibrational reflection that it's appearing in my movie at this moment. And if I approach my life in that way, the results that I get from it and the insights and the ability to take a lump of coal experience and transmute it into the diamond it's destined to become has just, to me, shown that, yes, indeed, this is what is going on. And I would say, you know, try it and see for yourself and buckle up your seatbelt because you're in for quite a ride once you approach your life in this way.
I love that so much. And I'm so excited to chat with you because we've never really gone to get into quantum physics and these larger cosmic concepts on the podcast. So for people who maybe have heard this term quantum physics before, they don't really understand what it is. How can you best explain it?
Well, certainly there's folks that are more versed in quantum physics than I am. However, one thing I really like to do, I do my best to distill things to something that is understandable and digestible and for myself and for others. And understanding the nature of the situation in which we all find ourselves is the particles that make me up are not solid at all. They're 99.99999% space. The thing we call solid is actually, you know, not solid at all. These vibrations of energy that are popping in and out of existence so quickly, they appear, the illusion is that they're solid, but it's really, it's like a movie projector that's flickering so fast, you know, they're stringing these things together in a way that looks fluid. And that's essentially what's happening. We know now with our, you know, our biology, with our planet, everything is vibration. It's vibrational in nature. So understanding and playing with that idea that, you know, okay, this is, you know, this is a light show. I'm essentially in a holographic reality. And once you start playing with that idea and understanding that time itself, you know, another thing science has shown is malleable. I use in the book as an example, if you shoot my mother into outer space at light speed when she was born, her twin, you could bring her back a year later and her twin, you know, she's a year old and her twin's running around talking and, you know, is definitely the exact age difference, not 100% sure, but definitely would be at least a few years older than her, you know? So that's wild, right? Time is this relative thing. So I like to say your fifth birthday party is actually happening on another channel. You're just not tuned into it in this moment. And the same with your future potentials. So once again, you start playing with some of these ideas and it gets really interesting. And you start to realize it's all sort of a feedback loop, showing, reflecting you back to you in a way that is good, that is participating in your growth. And we stop fighting it and we start learning from it. And that's a real turning point.
So I think a lot of us have experienced this moment of feeling like, am I in a simulation? Like, is this real? And I see both sides of it of, you know, everything is reflecting back to me. But then I see this other side of like, well, if everything is in my simulation, does that mean that like, am I negating other people's experiences and how that could even turn into like a kind of narcissism of, oh, well, you're just in my simulation. So how do you dive into that topic?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one of the stopping off points for everyone on this the spiritual path who starts to have an awakening to, you know, more about the understanding of the ultimate nature of reality, as I call it, you know, one of the stopping off points is this, or pitfalls can be spiritual narcissism, because you start to realize, oh my gosh, I'm the one, like Neo in Matrix, I'm the one. Okay, but don't get too excited, because so is the person experiencing homelessness next to you on the street right now. It's all the one. And so you happen to be seeing the one through a vantage point that, you know, you're, think of source as this, it's so infinite. It can experience from, it wants to experience from every possible angle and vantage point. So you are an avatar, a particular lens that source is viewing and experiencing through. So from that perspective, you are the center of your own private YOU universe. And then you talk about the simulation aspect of it. I mean, there, I talk in the book, Nick Bostrom wrote, I think it was like 2001, a paper called Simulation Argument. He looks at like what would happen, you know, what are the possibilities, you know, three possibilities with a civilization is that they become extinct before they become post-human, which would be, you know, before they solve all the world's problems, right? The second is, okay, they become post-human, they survive all the major problems and pitfalls, but they opt for low technology. The third option would be they become post-human and they continue to develop higher technology. Well, what was interesting is he also did an algorithm to see which was most likely. And what he came up with was the third is most likely of what would happen. And even if a small percentage of these, you know, civilizations, our ancestors, even let's say, were to go this route, you could have one kid who creates, it's inevitable that they would create very realistic simulations of Earth or life. So it's why someone like Elon Musk says, hey, it's probably one in billion that chance that we're in a base level reality, because all you need is one simulated, you know, one high technology society that's creating simulations, and they can create, you know, one person could create billions of us, right? In a sense. So it gets really interesting when you, and kind of strange when you start playing with this idea of being Sims. In my perspective, I find comfort in it's obvious when you look at nature and quantum physics, it's all the same stuff. You know, we are made literally, like you referenced earlier, we are made of stars. You are born from a star that, you know, originally had its childhood, its middle age, its adolescence, middle age, old age, died, exploded in a violent death, its guts spewed across the cosmos, ultimately reformed into Sahara Rose at some point, right? So literally the roots, the root of the atoms that comprise your human vessel were birthed in the heart of a star that already lived out its whole life. So it's just, the universe is just iterating, and it's all fractals of the same energy, you know, experiencing itself time and time again. So, you know, for me, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm a chip off the block. I'm the one. I'm one with the source consciousness that creates and animates all things. So whatever simulation, whatever light show is created, actually a part of me created it. There's only one of us. So that helps to make it not feel so, I guess, cold or scary. It's like, it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Vanilla Sky. Have you ever seen the movie Vanilla Sky? Do you remember at the end when he's convincing the doctor that, no, you're not real. Okay, what was your daughter's birthday or whatever? And it hits him like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't remember. I got to be real, you know? And it's like, I talk about relative truths in The Golden Key, and it's like two apparently contradictory things that both hold true. You and I are separate. That's true. You and I are one. That's also true, depending on the vantage point from which we're speaking. So from one vantage point, it's all an illusion, and, you know, it's all just a light show. And from another, so you could say it's sort of, from one perspective, semi-meaningless. From another, it's everything. It's, you are it all. And you're the one who actually architected, I believe, the whole thing. You just have amnesia to that fact. Just like when you dream at night and the bear's chasing you through the woods and you wake up and then you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I believed I was being chased through the woods, but I'm really laying in bed and I forgot I'm, you know, Sahara, whatever. I actually write that example in the book. And my friend Vajra, who I have so much synchronicity with, amazing visionary artist, there's a bunch of stories of magic and synchronicity between him and I in the book. And he was reading it and he said, Brandon, I just last night had a dream that a bear was chasing me through the woods. And then I picked up your book to continue reading where I left off, you know, the day before. And here's what I got to, where I'm talking about, imagine if you're having a dream where the bear is chasing you through the woods. It's like, wow, this stuff just gets really trippy.
So would you say the purpose of life then is to awaken to the simulation and then say, wait, if I am the player of this, I get to design my own reality?
That's exactly what I would say. It's, you are it. Of course you make it. There's no one else here. You're the only one in the room. It's all you reflecting you back to you. Do you know Nassim Haramein, the quantum physicist, by chance, or if you're familiar with him or his work?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Incredible.
Yes.
He'd be a good guy to have on your show. And I remember he posted something a long time ago where it was like a, it looked like a, you know, geometric shape that twists on like a toroidal twisting graph looking, I don't know. I wish I could just show a picture right now. But basically it just showed this twisting torus and it had nodes equidistant apart all the way throughout it. And he said, imagine this twisting for eternity, right? And that is consciousness, source, us, higher self, God, universe, whatever you want to call it. It's like, but each node, if you were to go to any one of those nodes, it's the center of the entire unit. It's the center. So you're a node in this infinite sea of consciousness. And it is so vast. It's like the short story, The Egg, like you're the only one here. It's you know, you're in your own. And by the way, why would you have a simulation? It's a great tool to test something in a safe environment. Like if you're going to learn how to be a fighter pilot, well, if you crash, you don't really get killed, you know? Well, I believe this reality, it's a simulation ground for us to grow and get our wings, if you will, to more intensive levels of consciousness and reality in a place that's relatively safe. Now, we might think, oh, if I die, like, was that safe? But do you really die or are you birthed back to where you came from, right? And so it's really empowering when you start to take on this perspective of, I'm the star of my own private movie. I'm not better than anyone else because they are too, and I'm a prop in their movie, right? I'm playing, in this case, you are reflecting a part of my consciousness back to me that I've created in the image of the avatar Sahara Rose and vice versa. And it's such a close vibrational match and reflection to where I'm at. It's appearing on my screen in this moment, and we're having a meaningful connection. And so, you know, a lot of people, especially in this Instagram age and all this stuff, and you know, I'm not the biggest person on social media, but I know for a lot of people, it really, you know, they start comparing themselves to you, right? Like, what if we're both podcasters, right? What if I were to say, oh my gosh, let me compare myself to Sahara. Let's see. Oh, she's got a gazillion Instagram followers and I post once every 6 months and, you know, whatever. I could then choose to see that as like a, it's so easy to say, oh, am I not as good? Am I, you know, people are doing this all the time. Look at her. Look at how beautiful she is or how in shape he is. And what I do is it's all about the story that you spin. If you're the director and creator of your own private movie, the story is everything that you're going to tell around any event. So if something is appearing in my movie that I admire, instead of saying, oh, I could never have that or they're better than me or any of that, I never do any of that. It's like, oh, wow. That is, I love that. I admire it. And it's such a close vibrational match that it's appearing out of billions of things vying for my attention. I'm attracting it. So I'm really close to it. So the difference between that story in my own private universe and oh, look at them, look how great they are. And I'm not good enough. And it's huge. It's a huge, huge difference. So that's one of the things that I highly recommend everyone to start playing with that perspective instead of this comparison thing, because it's all you. It's all an extension of you.
I love that so much. And can you explain a little bit what is quantum entanglement?
Quantum entanglement is fascinating. It's so what they found is if they can take two particles and put them together, entangle them together, and then separate them they've done it as far as like 700 miles or something. They can take one and put it in a space and another one here on Earth. So imagine, you know, like you're entangled with your partner, for example, if you're in a relationship, or your parents, or anyone who you're close with, right? Think of you as being entangled with them. So on a microcosm, you take two particles, you entangle them, you mesh them together, you separate them, you then put them at a great distance. You do something to one of those particles and the other one instantly, faster than the speed of light, is affected. So this is the whole idea of quantum computing and stuff that there, you know, is on the forefront of what's coming down the pipe and people are working on. It's still very young and mysterious and, you know, but it's, wow. So hold on, these two particles are somehow connected in a way that we can't see, that information isn't traveling via a broadcast or something. It's happening instantly. So you think of the people that are, we've all had this moment, or not all of us, but most people probably had at least some moment of, gosh, I knew that person was about to call me, or something happened to a child and the mother instantly knew. I mean, how many of those stories are there? Like countless. And it's because you're entangled, like you're connected, you're feeling their feeling, and what happens to them in some way ripples through you. And then as far as quantum entanglement, we're entangled with the whole world. I believe I created this place. Like I literally designed the narratives of what's happening in Afghanistan and with the, you know, presidential election, and all these things are part in some way of my extended consciousness. So instead of resisting it or judging it, it's like, you know, Abraham Hicks talks about this. When you look at something you like and you say, I did that. You look at something you don't like and say, I did that, you know, and just knowing, hey, it's all a part of me in some way that is working through itself so that I can move on to the next stage of my butterfly-ness.
So I think the next natural question that comes up for people is then, why do bad things happen? Like, am I the creator of the bad things? Is it because I did something? Is it my past life? Is it my karma? What is it?
That's a great, great question. And that's a very charged question, right?
Yeah.
It's a,
please don't come after Brandon.
Yeah. I like to say there's never been a victim in all of eternity. And I know that's super charged and challenging. And I think there's a lot of things at play that play into the experience that we're seeing that we just don't have the full picture. And that's why it appears to be bad. Or first off, well, to answer your question, why do bad things happen? I don't know that I believe that there's such a thing as bad. relatively based off, hey, I want to experience comfort and warmth and I'm cold. Okay, you could call that bad. But from the ultimate perspective, I believe everything is happening for love. So think about it like this. If we're all one and it's all love, right? That's what I believe is the root of creation. And now have eternity. It's just me and I'm love. That becomes absolutely meaningless, right? There is no context anymore. Take away that love and have the experience of completely, you know, having lifetimes of challenge and trial and, you know, scraping it out of the dirt and then come back to the truth of abundance and the inherent love that is reality. And it actually means something. It's, you know, our lives are a work of art and our souls, this is not for the faint of heart, who and what we are and what we're doing. You know, it's said by some who claim to communicate with entities on the other side that it's, you know, we're looked at as like those wild, crazy, adventurous ones who are willing to separate so far from source, to forget, to have amnesia to who and what we are, so that we can have the experience of remembering, re-membering, coming back together into unity and remembering our power. That Vanilla Sky, same movie, the sweet's never quite as sweet without the sour. You've never seen a work of art without shadow in it, have you?
So then what about this concept of we're going back to heaven on earth? We're going back to this, you know, 5D, 7D level of consciousness, that we are going to come back to this place of unity. Well, why would source want to go back to that if it created this whole simulation to be away from it?
Great question. So think of it, like I said earlier, it's all happening now. Time is an illusion. We've shown that with physics. It's all happening in the eternal now. So I believe source creates time to actually have a moment to experience something. Because if it's all happening now, it's over, you know, we don't listen to a song to get to the final note. And so we want the journey. The journey is the goal. And so it's all happening now. It's all, your fifth birthday is on another channel. You're just not tuned into it. Future lives, past lives, all of it is happening in the infinite now. The question is, and it's all divinely designed and perfect. Every experience and vantage point exists. The question is which one do you want to experience next? That becomes the question that's always posed to you. You are it all. What part of it all do you want to experience next? There is no wrong answer. If you're choosing unconsciously, usually, to do something really foul or awful or that's harmful to you or someone else, first off, I don't believe something's ever happened to someone that there isn't some level of soul contract agreement. For us, we're looking at it like, oh my gosh, this awful thing just happened with this small child or whatever. But that soul is actually an eternal being who knows exactly what it's doing. It's orchestrated prior to coming here what's going to transpire. And it's all, my favorite book of all time is a children's book called The Little Soul in the Sun by Neil Donald Walsh. Are you familiar with it? Oh, it's so beautiful. I highly recommend it. Children ages 5 to 105, go check that book out. And it basically, you know, to sum it up, it's the sun is, you know, the metaphor for God, and all the little lights make up the sun, and they're living in blissful, eternal, kind of heaven-like circumstances. And one day, a curious soul is like, I'd like to experience something different. What if, you know, this creative little guy came up with, like, what if there was something to forgive, right? And then this interesting dialogue starts to happen between the sun and the little soul. And all the other little souls are like, what is he talking about? Forgiveness? What's that? You know, here where it is perfection and there is nothing to forgive. And then, you know, the sun goes on to say, oh, you always were the adventuresome one. I knew you'd come up with this. And he's like, I've come up with a way. And however, it will take another one of your fellow, you know, radiant light being friends to lower and dim their vibration and dim their light, and will put you in a place where they'll have to forget who and what they are in order to do this thing to you so that you can have the opportunity to forgive. And this other little soul steps forward and says, I love you so much. I'm willing to come and do this thing to you. But please, in the moment that I do, I'll have forgotten myself. And if you don't remember me, I may stay lost for a very, very long time. So all I ask in the moment that I do this awful thing to you, please just remember me as I am here so that I can find my way back. And it's like, wow. I mean, it's like, gives you chills. It's so beautiful.
Full body chills. Yeah. Wow. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are, I mean, the times we can all think of that we have hurt others, whether it was as a kid, bullying or being mean to someone, you know, we forgot ourselves. And imagine if in that moment, that person, though it wasn't their responsibility to quote unquote, but imagine they turned back and they're like, I forgive you. You are love. I mean, you would have probably broke down from being seen so clearly. And that's really what all of these acts are a call for, to be seen and to be remembered back as love again.
Les Miserables has a story similar to this, you know, where the guy steals and then gets caught, and the priest, I believe, is like, you know, the cops are ready to beat him and they're like, oh, well, you forgot this one. Oh, and he like lets him off the hook, and it completely transforms his life because of this beautiful act that was done when he was this low life scoundrel, you know. And it's like, you know, seeing the light, I believe it was Wayne Dyer said, see the light in others and treat them as that is all you see. And yes, easier said than done. And I'm not saying we're not going to ever feel hurt or angry or any of those things. Those are emotions that Source wants to experience too. As soon as you can come to a place of calm and peace, it doesn't mean you're always happy with what happens, but we can find a way to be at peace with what's happening by understanding, by understanding, knowing, okay, I may not fully see all the puzzle pieces, but I trust that it's happening for me. And that there's a gift here. There's something I'm supposed to learn here. And, you know, so I think a lot of things play into it. You know, you've got the idea of karma. You've got the idea of dharma. You've got past vibrational offerings of what you were feeling and resonating with last week, last month, last year. It's all playing into the soup of manifestation and experience that may come up. And I, like the book says, don't get too concerned because it's all just an illusion. It's all just a game. In the end, you're safe. You know, in the end. And that's really challenging for us to wrap our brains around, because we've got on blinders to, you know, if, imagine if you could see everything you've done, Ben. I know you've had, I think you and I've talked about this. You've had some glimpses of that sort of stuff, I believe, if I recall, into other lives or whatever. Imagine if it was the blinders were completely off. Then it would just be like, okay, I'm not taking this Brandon character so seriously. Like, oh yeah, I've died a bazillion times. Like, but for us who don't really fully see that, it's like, this is everything, you know? And if something bad happens, you know, it's, we're judging it. And when we can learn to just move beyond that and work on moving beyond that, it's a daily conscious effort. It definitely isn't, you know, that, but that's the work.
And I think we can't truly be free if we don't think about death. I mean, I think that that's what this, you know, as you call in the book, the COVID chrysalis, but this cocoon we have been in this year, it has been death on the forefront of our minds. And what are we willing to do to not die?
Yeah.
Are we willing to stop living to not die?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's such a charged topic and I honor everyone's perspective with it, but how do you think we can become truly free and liberated and create an abundant life given this situation that we are in right now?
I believe it was Eckhart Tolle who says, the trick is to die before you die and realize there is no death, because then you're really free. You know, a lot of people I love watching stories of near-death experiences, and some of the stories are just so fascinating, you know, and a lot of those people are really empowered with, you know, some of them have real challenges coming back. They're depressed. Like, I got a glimpse of what it's like there and I don't want to be here anymore, you know? And so everything has a season, right? We can see the really apparent seasons in our life. And then there's bigger, like the Mayans talked about, you know, these longer cycles of 13,000 year cycles of where things repeat. And, you know, there's, so if you can start to understand there's cycles within cycles, it's like reality is like these Russian nested dolls, you know, it's, you pull one out and there's, it's like all a fractal. And so if you can take on the perspective of this is a season where mankind needs to go inward and needs to, there's a retraction, you know, I believe Source is like, it's this, the breathing in and out of God. You know, they think that the universe may have begun as an infinitesimal speck of incredibly dense matter we can barely perceive that's exploding outward now. And one day, one of the theories is it may retract back upon itself. You know, separation, unification, separation, unification. So we're in a cycle. That's why I call it the COVID chrysalis. For, you know, the caterpillar goes and it destroys everything in its path. If, I don't know if you know the story. I know you're playing with some butterflies, so you know some of this. I was talking to my mom about this, and she's right when I was going to write about it in the book, and she's like, oh my gosh, Brandon, yes, the caterpillars just ate my geraniums that I've had for years, you know? And I'm like, perfect. That's what I'm writing about. This caterpillar, it destroys everything in its path. Then all of a sudden, these Imaginel cells pop up within the caterpillar. And the caterpillar cells look at it as like, well, hold on, what is this invader? This is not, you know, this isn't part of what we are. Kill it. And they do. And then another Imaginel cell pops up. And then others. And then they start working together. And eventually a shift takes place where the Imaginel cells shift the power, if you will, control of the caterpillar, and it goes into, this is when it goes into cocooning chrysalis phase. And it's the actual destruction of that caterpillar that destroyed everything in its path actually turns into a goo that fuels the Imaginel cells to feed on, which then it emerges as the butterfly. So for the butterfly to exist and be born, the caterpillar had to do all of these destructive acts. And that ended up being the fuel for the butterfly to emerge. And I believe that's a perfect story of what's happening with mankind. We've been destroying mindlessly. There's been so much, you know, ugliness on the planet. And it's because we're adolescents still. We're still in our caterpillar phase. And I believe there's certainly a big awakening happening. A lot of people waking up to the content we're talking about here with the popularity of your show and just like spirituality in general, people are starting to have awakenings. And I've watched it over the last 20 years. And this shift now compared to when I began is like, it's incredible. You know, it's so many people in my world. Whereas before I was like, I could read books and talk to people about it and they'd think I was crazy and or interesting. That's interesting. And go about their normal life. Now everyone's having these awakenings. And I believe it's because we're transitioning into the butterfly stage of humanity. And a very crucial part of that transition is this COVID chrysalis is just a great reflection. Just when the caterpillar thinks its world is over, it becomes a butterfly. And that's what I believe is going on with all of this madness in the world.
I love that so much. And yes, I've been raising my own caterpillars and seeing how, yeah, when they're little caterpillars, they eat everything. You know, they're just like chomp, chomp, chomp. It's a full-time job. And then they just enter into the stillness. And it's been interesting watching them emerge because some butterflies emerge and it's like this beautiful expansion. Other ones, they're like, their legs are caught on to the like web and it's like having a hard time. And it's like, you can see the way they emerge. It's so different. For some, it's so simple. For others, it's very complicated. One has actually even died from its leg getting entangled. So you can see that even though they all came from the same thing, our journeys, our birthing into this world is all so unique, but really we're all going the same place. And another beautiful thing that of the butterfly medicine is it's so temporary. You know, butterflies in the wild typically live 1 week in, you know, in a home. It could be 2, maximum 4 weeks if they're just like living their best lives, but they go through this whole process and then they just, you know, right before they die, they lay their eggs for the next generation to come forth. Yeah. So it's to just like be in the experience and let your wings fly and offer your fullest expression and know that you're just part of the cycle. And soon there will be some new caterpillars on the block who'll do the same thing.
And I think that's a great point is like a lot of times we think our lives, well, we have so much time. You know, I think as Buddha said, the problem is you think you have time. And, you know, it's pretty short. When you look at the life cycle of a star, as I used as an example earlier, versus, you know, you emerged, I emerged, everyone listening emerged from a star that had a much longer life cycle than our human vessels will. And the good news is I think there's plenty of life behind that for us. You know, I think a billion Earth years from now, we will be experiencing in another now moment somewhere, you know? So that to me is really reassuring. It's like, yes, make the most of this life because the avatar character, Brandon Beecham, and this is very rapid. It's very short, relatively speaking. And, you know, so don't lose the preciousness of the experience. Your soul is going to experience on and on and on. But this particular character, you know, you're going to be with Sahara for a relatively short period of time. Like, don't miss the beauty because I think that's one of the things when we leave, we're like, I wish I'd been more. I know for me, my initials are BBB. And I think a lot of times it's encoded in a name. I talk about this in the book too. You know, what someone is, the message they're supposed to get or what they represent energetically. And for me, I'm very much like a doer. And I can tend to like, if I'm not careful, do so at the expense of the present, which is the gift, the present. And so I think that is such an important thing to for us to get is to be in the moment as much as you can. That's where all of our power lies. You know, the past doesn't exist. You can't show it to me and you don't remember it exactly like it was. It has no power here, really. And the future never comes like we imagine. We're constantly in a now moment, you know, or that is shifting as well.
We'll take a quick break so I can share with you this special offer. Are you that person that all your friends and family members come to when they need wellness advice? Are you constantly looking up new ways to heal and balance your mind, body, and spirit, including listening to this podcast? Well, have you ever considered having a career becoming a holistic health coach where you get to decide your own hours, work with people, tackling the subjects that you are the most passionate about, and having financial freedom along the way? Well, I'm so excited to be teaming up with my very own alma mater, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, to offer their biggest discount yet. You'll receive $2,250 off tuition, an extra bonus that they're offering just with my Highest Self podcast listeners on how to launch your dream book. This course is going to get you super clear on what your book is about and how to bring it out into the world. I've created a webinar for you on how to have a thriving business as a health coach. So using social media, creating passive income, how to have a wait list of clients and become the best known coach in your niche with raving testimonials. Tickets to a live upcoming IIN conference where I will be meeting you over there. Super excited to connect. And a bundle of all digital wellness guides like Ayurveda, self-love, whole food eating, etc. So all you have to do is head over to my show notes. You'll see the link over there. It's a little bit.ly link. It'll take you right there. You'll be able to receive a sample class, check out the curriculum, get all your questions answered. And I'm so excited to have you on this mission, raising the vibration of the planet together as a health coach. Again, head over to my show notes. You'll see the link right there, and I'll see you inside. Self-care is so important right now, and Abhyanga Ayurvedic self-oil massage is one of my favorite ways of doing it, especially in the dry winter months. So basically, you massage your body with herbalized oils, which are specifically made to balance all three doshas. So you can actually continue to do it throughout the year, but I know I get very dry in these months, and Abhyanga just makes me feel so soothed and relaxed and grounded. I love putting oil on my feet and putting socks on right before bed. Such a major life hack. It really just feels like a hug. So you can give Abhyanga a try with Banyan Botanicals Daily Massage Blend for 20% off and shop my other favorite products at banyanbotanicals.com/Sahara. Again, that's banyanbotanicals.com/Sahara. You can find that link on the show notes and be sure to check out their website too for other Ayurvedic information.
So for people who are wanting to, you know, transform into their butterfly selves, live their most abundant lives and let that echo out in their external experience, but they're feeling like there's so much work to get there. There's so many steps and things I have to do and I'm so behind and I don't know where to learn it from. And also, I think a lot of spiritual people, they don't want to compromise the, you know, morning routine or whatever their practices are. They don't want to do all of this work because they're like, well, I can be happy as I am. So,
yep.
And I'm like you, I do a lot. So what is your advice for people who want to live in this abundance? Like, and can you share just briefly about your own story of abundance? And yeah, what would you recommend for people now who want to create that abundance without overworking themselves and giving up on their self-care?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And first off, what is the story that you're telling? You are the creator and created rolled into one. So whatever story you're going to tell about your situation, abracadabra means I create as I speak. Your words are your wands, you're spelling, you're casting a spell when you're saying, I'm too late, I've run out of time. You're on divine timing. I believe when we pass and we can see more behind the veil, right? We can open up everything. You're going to weep at the beauty of the perfection of everyone getting exactly what they need when they need it in divine timing to propel them into the next greatest and grandest version of themselves. And some people are on a faster track than others, and that's not better or worse. It's all divine. And so I think that's the most important first thing is knowing that, you know, you are right on time. You couldn't be late if you tried. So we're perfectly imperfect. And so that's the first thing. And then, and it's why I approached my book, The Golden Key, with you know, I start off by saying, hey, you know, the subtitle is Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. And I start off by saying, hey, you may think this is going to tell you how to skip the Starbucks and then save that money, or, you know, invest in cryptocurrency, or, you know, switch to Geico and save $300 a year, whatever it is. Like, that's not what this book is about. This is about, I like getting to the root of things. What's the foundation? And the foundation of abundance is understanding that abundance is your birthright. It's the quintessence of your being, the essence of the essence. This is, you built this place. You're so abundant. Everything you see is an extension of you. That's how abundant you actually are. Everywhere you look, that's actually a part of you. Like, that's wild to think about, right? When we think of, what does abundance mean? What is, look at this abundant planet. Look beyond this planet. It's all an extension of you. What's happening is, because you're such a powerful creator, you then tell the story of separation about that you and that abundance, and abracadabra. Oh, he believes, she believes that she is poor. She has a narrative that says this. She has proof from a past experience. Look at her bank account. Oh, it must be true. Ah, as you speak, so it is. So the most important thing is first, and that's what the idea of the book was, is let's put on the brakes on what you think abundance is. It's not just money. That's just one form of abundance. There's so many forms of abundance: time, health, you know, relationships, on and on it goes. So let's put on the brakes of what your story is with abundance, first of all. Now let's reprogram, let's change your base operating system to start seeing through these 8 keys that I've laid out. And then play with that idea. Like, really, it's the reason I started the Positive Head podcast and have done so many episodes, you know, just over 5 years ago now, is because I always say we teach best what we most need to learn. And so it's like, okay, I need to rewire my brain to even more live in this vibration. It's why I love having this conversation with you right now. We're in a vibrational pond of magic and possibility and empowerment. And we're literally bathing in that energetically. And that which is like unto itself is drawn. So I'm calling in more of it by I'm being it to see it. So that's really the most important thing, is rewiring your narrative about the nature of the situation in which you find yourself. What is the ultimate nature of reality? How do I fit into that? And that's really what I aim to do with the Golden Key. Let's give you something to not only lay that foundation. Okay, now let's play with these ideas with some exercises to, you know, Dr. Joe Dispenza, who I love, talks a lot about this sort of thing and how, you know, we're literally, we can see when we look at the science of it, when you change your thoughts, it actually creates new neural connections in the brain. And so what happens with your old patterns of thinking, think of like a trail through the forest, right? If you take that trail a bunch of times, it gets really worn and open and it's a clear trail. But if you start changing your perspectives on some of these things, all of a sudden that trail starts to grow over, that old trail that was leading you to a place you really don't want to experience life from, and new trails of possibility open up for you. And we can see this. We can actually see this, you know, with when you start retraining your perspectives. And that's what I believe is the most foundational thing, you know, is that. And then things come as a result. For me, for example, I started to grasp these concepts, you know, 25 years I've been on my journey. And let's say 10 years ago, 2010, yeah, I was on my friend's couch, no money, had just been through a hard, you know, entrepreneurial venture that, you know, kind of fell flat. Okay, I'm not going to choose to say I'm 30 some years old and therefore I'm a loser because I'm on my friend's couch. And no, this is an experience that was teaching me something that I either win or you learn, right? So Chinese proverb, fall down 7 times, get up 8. That's, you know, being optimistic about always giving me something I need. Okay, so I'm infinite abundance. I'm going to call in more abundance. My physical circumstances could tell me otherwise, but I'm not going to let that dictate who and what I know to be in my heart and soul and core. And as a result, what happened then was, for me, because I was holding such a strong vibrational anchor to that perspective, oh, hey, Brandon, see a friend you haven't seen in 10 years. Oh, they tell you about a business thing they're doing in Virginia. Oh, hold on, I could explore that here in California since I'm flat broke at this moment. Oh, I learned about it there and I can see a huge hole in this business model. What if I take that hole and I do my own thing? Oh, next thing I know, you know, an Inc. 500 fastest growing private company in the US, 100 plus employees doing 10 million plus a year in revenue, which is one in 10,000 entrepreneurs ever achieve. And it's not because I'm special or better or smarter. I just remembered who I was and said, okay. And it was in the travel industry. I had no interest in the travel industry per se, but the universe was answering my vibration that, hey, even though I'm on my friend's couch in this moment, I am one with the abundance. This monetary, it's not if, but when. And so I held the vibration and then circumstances appeared to show me a path I would have never picked that path for myself consciously. And so I think that is the most important perspective I can share in abundance. First, let's get to the core of your operating system. We need to rewire how you're viewing your life and the nature of the situation in which you find yourself. And then the results will speak for themselves. You'll start to see opportunities will unfold. And I'm sure understanding the dharmic path the way you do, you understand how powerful it is to start navigating from this vantage point instead of like a lot of things, it's like do this external thing out there, you know, in order to get more abundance. Like there is no out there, out there. Out there is showing up a reflection of your internal state. It all starts from within.
So that is such an incredible story because I feel like we hear people who or have been in those moments that you're like on the couch and whatever, but then most of the time it's just, I mean, we've all seen people in the festival space, et cetera, who are like on the couch, I'm abundant, but nothing is changing in their life. So what do you think for you actually created this like incredible shift from looking at it in this like highly spiritual lens, but it very much manifesting in your physical reality?
Great. Such good questions. So for one, you can see I naturally get very excitable, right? So that is my vibration gets elevated when I start tapping into like this remembrance about my authentic power. And so what's happening, so I could say I'm abundant. I'm really abundant. Yeah, I read a book and it told me that I'm abundant. So I'm abundant. But if I'm not feeling it, I'm not really resonating with it. I'm not really tapping into that vibrational pool. Words are just, you're not really meaning them, right? So I think getting excited, finding a way to get excited about your situation. And that thankfully for me has been somewhat natural in how I think I came into this world. So I found it maybe easier than some who maybe struggle with depression or whatever. I haven't had a lot of that. But I think was a real big difference is I'm not just saying it. It's like law of attraction. A lot of people think if I just sit here and focus, you know, long enough, it's going to appear. It's like the key word action, like in law of attraction, it's like really start to pay attention to the subtle energies and the cues. I am always reading what is being reflected to me. It's like, if I'm excited about something, maybe that's because there's something for me there. And sometimes I go down that path and then it's like, oh, okay, it hits somewhat of a dead end, but then it leads to somewhere else. And then, you know, and so you're never judging. I think people get discouraged and then they start saying, oh yeah, I've been excited before and I've failed 7 times. So of course I'm going to fail 8. It's like Walt Disney, he went bankrupt. I forget how many times, you know, this is a guy in the 5th time or whatever. Would you have believed he's going to end up doing what he ended up doing? No, he just kept believing. He kept that childlike wonder. My favorite, you know, there's very few Bible verses that I quote, but one of them, unless you become like a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that is crucial, is like your childlike self who could hop in the, you know, cardboard box and imagine it's a spaceship and really playing and being playful. Because if you're in a vibration of it's all dull, it's all unexciting, I really don't believe in my potential, it can't really, the fuel isn't there. You know,
I always say excitement are breadcrumbs guiding you towards your dharma, because it's like that little, you know, treat on the stick that, you know, keeps guiding you to the next thing and the next thing. And yeah, sometimes you explore that avenue and the map redirects you to another direction. But if you don't follow that fuel, that amplification, you'll never know what's there. So I see your experience as that the excitement was guiding you, but also from a larger level, you're here to show people that that is possible. Like you are here to be a living story that here's what I moved through. And I literally became a magician of my own life. And now you're in this incredible conscious home, which I'd love for you to tell listeners about and all the things that you're doing there. But it's just currently rare to see, but I believe that it soon won't be. You know, I think that we're going to hear all of these people who will, from this COVID experience, will see, you know, I too reframed my beliefs and chose to see the world from an abundant lens and let that surpass my intellectualism and move towards a place of embodiment. And I listened and react. You know, it could have been one thing of, I'm here to be abundant, but I'm only going to do it if it shows up as a screenplay at the couch, right? You know, and then like that could have been the thing that's more potentially more exciting for you on a larger dharmic path, but you were open to, okay, well, this is showing up for me. This person is guiding me to this place and this place. You're kind of this pawn, but you're continually saying yes and saying yes. And then from going through that journey now with all of these experiences, are able to create from such a grand level that I think sometimes people want to skip through that part that the Dharma is showing up right in front of them. But they're like, no, it's supposed to look like this because that's what's on my vision board. But maybe, you know, redirection is actually what's going to give you the embodiment to hold that energy for the greater vision.
Yes, absolutely. It's like, I like to say life happens when your plans don't work out. And you can have expectations about what you want to create, but with a healthy sense of detachment, this or something better. And I think that is such an important, you know, we think it's a straight line from A to B and it's like really a zigzag going every, you know, leading us where we're supposed to go. And also one of the things I want to add is everyone out there listening, there is something for you. And I think you'll agree with this, Sahara, that no one in the history of existence is better suited for than you. Your dharma is, what you're seeking is seeking you. You just need to get out of the way of it. You are as worthy to have great life, a rewarding life, as every person who ever has. And the story that you tell around it is what's been holding you back. That you're playing in low vibrational pond and therefore you're not seeing these high vibrational experiences. And the good news is it's an inside job. So you can listen to this podcast more. You can, you know, there's so many things you can do to same way we feed our bodies to feed our mind, you know, our mind and soul and really help to create those new neural pathways where you're just waking up like, I don't know what's next for me, but I trust the mystery. I believe in the process and that it's all happening for me, not to me. And whatever comes, a master is someone who embraces whatever shows up because they know it's exactly what they need to get to the next level of where they're meant to go next. And when you start viewing your life through that lens, you start stepping into becoming what I believe is the next great art form on our planet, the art of manifestation. You start becoming a artist that is manifesting things because you're being it to see it. Most people are doing something like work in order to have something like money, in order to be something like happy. You're being happy and grateful for what you already have. And then as a result, you're seeing, you know, doing and having things that are a reflection of that vibration.
Totally. And then the details don't matter. You know, it's like sink into what it is that you really want to feel and then let the universe show you how you can best feel that way. You know, maybe you're like, I want to feel abundant, but your imagery of it is a penthouse in New York City, but the universe is showing you a farm in Vermont and all roads are leading you to farm in Vermont. But you're like, but that's not what abundance looks like. And again, in my idea of it, but then you actually surrender to that experience and say yes. And you're like, ah, this is actually the abundance that I was really seeking. So, I mean, so much to say. I could talk to you about this forever. And on that thing of the dreams are in you for a reason, I always say your dreams are dreaming you back. Like the very reason are a dream within you is because encoded within them is a piece of your soul. Like it's not an accident. It's not random. I don't have dreams about the same thing you have dreams about, which aren't the same thing, right? Lisa listening or Emily or whoever. I don't dream about new architecture, but probably an architect is, or someone who has that, you know, propensity. So listen to those dreams. Yep. And it doesn't exactly mean it's going to look that way, but maybe it's you come alive being on stage, you know, or you really love to connect people one-on-one with their hearts. Look into the frequency of what that dream is holding for you and know that it is in you for a reason.
Beautifully said. Yeah, that makes me think of Matt Kahn, who said bleed on stage when I was talking with him. And I love that. It's like, you know, if it scares you and excites you, it's probably for you. And be willing to step and put yourself outside of your comfort zone and just trust, hey, if I fail, the greatest fail is not trying and resigning, you know, to mediocrity when abundance is your birthright.
Yeah, it's actually the only true way that you can fail is to just not try. And that's just the only guarantee. So I love that so much. So can you share with us your new book and this gamification process you've tied onto it, which is super unique?
Yeah. Well, I pride myself on wanting to do things differently. And sometimes that works out great and other times not as well. But nonetheless, I'm in this case, I couldn't be more excited about The Golden Key. You know, and this is a great example, by the way, of the book came to me. Once you start getting into this magical, open, high vibration state, so much synchronicity and serendipity starts to unfold. And for me, it was, I've been doing the Positive Head podcast for just over 5 years and had you on a while back and, well, a couple times now. And then I wanted to basically evolve that into a new late night style consciousness centric talk show, Optimistic, which you were on. And then, so I started to release the episodes right when COVID hit. And it was like the world was turning upside down. It, you know, there had been some challenges with, you know, timelines and production and all those things. And so I was like, started to limp into releasing in the middle of this pandemic the world never seen. And then we found out that we were going to be on Amazon. So we paused it. We paused releasing and just put everything on hold. And then for months and months and months, that got strung along. And then all of a sudden, Amazon was like, nope, never mind. We're not releasing this. And okay, why is this happening for me, right? So this could have been a great story of, oh gosh, I put all this energy and then kind of started releasing and then paused it. And it's just kind of a messy, right? Not what I envisioned. But out of that is how the book was born. Because then I thought, oh, okay, the upside, what is the silver lining with not being on Amazon? Well, I can work in some sort of promotion of my own thing again. Like on Amazon, you can't have a commercial really. But before I was promoting retreats that are a part of the Optimistic Show, retreat guests, and that would spend a week here at the Mystic Manor that you referenced leading up to the last night they were here recording. And so I'm like, okay, well, it's COVID. I can't really do retreats right now. So what could I do? Okay, universe, what's next? I always known I'd write a book, but I never wanted to force it until it felt right. And then I had a dream and details of the gamification process and went to my friend Vajra I mentioned earlier and said, hey, would you do the cover art? I don't know if there's enough time because your artistic process takes a long time. And he goes, well, guess what? I dreamed I was at the Mystic Manor 2 months ago and I was hunting for the key to everything. And I was so inspired by the dream, I already started working on it. Here's the Golden Key cover that I started working on 2 months ago from, you know, his own dream, right? And this is the same guy who had the bear thing happen. So it's just like, this is the type of magic that happens. So, okay, from one perspective, you know, all this effort into filming the show, you were here, you saw how much goes into it and the editing and then going to release it and COVID hits and then Amazon doesn't really pan out the way it's supposed to. And out of the ashes of that came the Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. And the whole gamification aspect is essentially Maharishi talked about if we can get 1% of the inventor of transcendental meditation, 1% of the population to shift its consciousness, it will affect the whole, right? Or Malcolm Gladwell in the book, The Tipping Point, talks about if you can get 10% to adopt something, you know, wholeheartedly, it spreads like wildfire. You can't stop it, you know? So I believe this information we're talking about here on the show, people understanding the ultimate nature of reality and who and what they are is everything. It's the quickest way to save our planet. Because once you start knowing all is one, act accordingly. That's the only rule. Whatever I do to you, I'm doing to an extension of self, which is why I will inevitably feel the energetic repercussions of my action. What other law or rule or guidance do we need, right? So that's why I decided I want to gift the book and I want to give people the opportunity to gift the book. So everyone who aligns with it or feels like this message is one I stand for and I would like to more people to know, great. You're going to get a code where you can go and, you know, instead of the person buying the book, they'll use your code and then they get it for free. The download the audio or ebook. If you get the physical book, you pay for it in that case. But, and then at the end of the book, now everyone reading it has received it for free. And at the end of the book, I invite everyone, look, words are one thing, talk is one thing. Let's put in action, as I talked about earlier. So I have some exercises that I put together, what I call the game with the YO universe, and or the golden game. And let's actually do some exercises together over 88 days, eight being the number of abundance in Chinese, you know, both old, ancient and modern day, they look at eight as this abundant and wealth generating an abundant number. So there happened to be eight keys just coincidentally. So I used eight for almost everything. And then over 88 days, we do these simple yet powerful exercises together. And that entails people actually coming after reading the book and paying for putting money into the game based off what they feel like the book was worth to them. You could put a dollar, you could put $1,000. There's no requirement. And then what we're doing is I'm going to, not only have I taught about abundance, now I want to share that. I want to practice what I preach by 50% of everything that's spent on the site. I'm just sharing with all the people who shared it with others. So there's an actual golden key necklace that is the same golden key that's on the front of the book. We had made into an 18 karat gold plated necklace. There's, you know, you can get the cover art of the book. You can, you know, several other things, monthly Zoom key conversation. We're going to continue to talk about the golden key. So anything that's generated financially, it's just shared with everyone, split with, you know, everyone. And so it's a way to practice what I preach. I call it the good kind of selfish. I know if I give more away, then more comes back to me, especially when it's aligned with something that's a powerful, positive intention like this. So that's what we're doing. Yeah, it's super exciting and fun. And then we're gonna see all the cool results that people get as well. Hear the stories. Oh my gosh, I started doing the exercises and I manifested this, you know? And some people, you know, different intentions of the type of abundance they want to call in. That's part of the exercise as well. Setting, writing down what it is you want to manifest and then taking action. Ritual, right? To get in the vibrational pool of attracting what we wish.
I love that so much and such a unique way of bringing your book out. And thank you for playing big and for really leading with your visionary archetype of just seeing a new future. You know, I have these nine Dharma archetypes and you're just so the visionary one of just like, here's the future of books and the future of this. And I love it because it then gives people permission to either, you know, use a similar model or just create their own. And I just think that so many people out there have such important messages to share and they wait because they think they need to be chosen by an agent and by a publisher and by a marketing plan and this and all of these things. And you can just choose yourself. So thank you for just stepping into it, putting yourself out there and
choose yourself.
This book. Yeah, choose yourself and making these keys so accessible for everyone. So we will have the link for it in the show notes. It has just come out when you are listening to the podcast. So post it on your Instagrams, share it, and be sure to check out Brandon's podcast as well, the Positive Head Podcast. I have been on and it is just such a good one. You have so many episodes always happening. So it's just a really great one to always just like feel like you're in the vortex, feel like you're in the loop, always just get that good juju coming your way. And thank you again for being on today. So how can people get the book right now?
So all they need to do is go over to goldenkey.gift, goldenkey.gift. And in this case, they'll, you know, you're gifting the book to them. That's part of it is, hey, I want to empower everyone to not only give, but receive. So you're gifting it to them with your code, Sahara. And yeah, they'll be able to download the audio or ebook for free and then be invited to play the game, you know, the manifestation game at the end, the golden game, totally optional to do. And yeah, it'd be great to see. Hopefully a lot of your listeners will check it out and then we'll hear some really exciting stories of the abundance that they created from playing the game as well.
I love that. It's like a spiritual Willy Wonka who will have the golden key.
I'll take that. Good. It's funny because I always ask the question on my show, you're in an elevator, the woman next to you looks over, says, what's your passion? What do you say? And then when someone gives me a long answer, I'm always like, that was the Willy Wonka answer where you're like way past 10 floors into the stratosphere, you know, where the elevator shoots into outer space. So
I love it. He's in your frequency. That's why you're channeling him back to you. So people can find that link in the show notes. They can use the code Sahara, all capital letters, to get your book today. So thank you again for being on today, Brandon. We so appreciated all your wisdom.
Oh, thank you so much. This was such a wonderful experience and just so grateful for everything that you do in the world. You're such a beautiful reflection. So thank you for being.
Thank you.
I love conversations like that because I feel like we get so stuck into just talking about the 3D world around us, what's happening next, what's happening on the news, what's happening in politics. And sometimes we need to just zoom out and see things from that bird's eye perspective and see how we are in some ways calling in all of our experiences. And when we can understand what is this teaching me, we can actually graduate past that and move on to higher experiences filled with joy, unity, love, and all of the things that we really are. You know, at the end of the day, we all want the same things, and we may go about different ways of getting it based off of our own understanding and experiences, but when we can truly always respond as love, I am always asking myself, what would love do right now? And even if I'm faced with someone who's like mean to me or creating problems or whatever else, I just keep asking myself, what would love do right now? And me responding as love, first of all, it often shifts them because they are being met by love. And two, it's no longer creating that energetic cord. It's not bringing me, you know, down into the dirt playing that dance. It is bringing me to this higher perspective that it's not bothering me anymore. So this is possible for every single person. It's really just a mindset shift. And I'm really excited that more information like this, books like this are getting out so we can assist with the shift that we are in right now and emerge as our fullest butterfly expression. So thank you, Brandon, for being on the podcast. You can find the link to his book in the show notes. And if you're wanting to dive deeper into discovering your dharma, your soul's purpose, the big reason why you are here, then come and join me in the 21-day Dharma Discovery Journey. Over 21 days with just 10 minutes a day, we're going to be diving into practices, tools, exercises, and prompts to help you remember your soul's purpose and have an action plan so you can actually take aligned action on making this your reality. You can find that link in the show notes as well, and I'm super excited to have you inside. If you loved this episode, I would love to send you a free gift, which is the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type. This is a different book than Eat Feel Fresh, my first book ever, which is not released anywhere. And I am gifting it exclusively to those who leave a review of my podcast in the iTunes store. So all you got to do is head over to iTunes, where you may be listening to this podcast, and leave a review. Take a screenshot that you've left it and email it over to me at sahara@eatfeelfresh.com. Again, that's Sahara, S-A-H-A-R-A, at eatfeelfresh.com. And I will send you back the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type, which goes all into Ayurveda, doshas, plant-based nutrition, body types, all of the things in a really fun and engaging way. So this is my gift to you for free for supporting the podcast. Every single review I personally read, it really helps the podcast be listened to by more people so we can raise the vibration of the planet together. And I am so grateful to have you on this journey. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode. Namaste.